You're listening to Careers and Cocktails, Career Talk with a Twist, hosted by expert recruiter Renee Fry. Let's get this party started.
Hey, party people. Welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. Today, I am going to be zooming in with Eleni Anastos, and she is going to have some great value bombs for us. But first, we are making her favorite cocktail, which is a mimosa. It's the first time we've featured a mimosa on Careers and Cocktails, and I'm thrilled because it's super easy. So I brought this is not your normal briefcase. This is my Riedel wine glass carrying case. For those of you serious wine connoisseurs and you go to tastings, you want to bring your Riedel glasses or you're going to a friend's house and you're going to share some special wine, this is the briefcase you need. It is lined with padding, and I have my favorite champagne glasses, the Performance Riedel Flute, and these are gorgeous. So I will be making the mimosas there. And then we have my favorite budget Prosecco. So you can make mimosas with either champagne, cava, or Prosecco. Remember, cava is made in Spain, which is sparkling wine. Prosecco is Italian sparkling wine. Champagne is from the Champagne region in France. And then in the United States, obviously, we drink sparkling wine. So my favorite is from Costco. You can get this for under $7 a bottle. I normally buy the case every time they have it. It is phenomenal. And it's a Prosecco that's DOCG. So that's the requirements from Italy, which means it's stellar. But there's my favorite pop. So you're going to do equal parts of Prosecco, equal parts of orange juice. And I went to their competitor, Sam's Club, to get fresh squeezed orange juice. So we're just going to shake this up a little bit. And I'm going to do equal parts of Prosecco. And these glasses, you will see why they are so beautiful. So these glasses are special. They're a new Riedel line, and they are a little more open than your traditional champagne flute. And the reason Riedel did that is because they said that then you can smell more of the nose, and then the wider cup here really gives you the visually stunning, appealing of the champagne bubbles, and just it's visually phenomenal. And then we'll add some orange juice. And then garnish with, since I'm a garnisher, makes every drink more pretty. Garnish it with an orange. And look at how beautiful that is. Let's take a taste. The orange is massive, so I might have to take it out to drink. Oh, so good. Perfect morning drink. If you're having brunch or a bunch of people over, you can even mix it in pitchers in advance to serve. And then since I can't drink all of this champagne or Prosecco right now, I'm going to use my handy dandy champagne stopper. And you just put it in there and it hooks around and you can throw it right back in the fridge. Usually it's good throughout the day, or even the following day, the bubbles will stay fresh. So you can get those on Amazon and we'll put a link below. Cheers. Hey, party people. Welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. I'm thrilled to have Eleni Anastos with us here today, and we are zooming in because what state are you in?
Florida,
the sunshine state. And today we are drinking her favorite cocktail, a mimosa.
Yes.
Cheers. So tell me, why did you choose a mimosa?
Mimosas make me think, first of all, orange juice in Florida. That's a given. And mimosas always make me think of brunch, something that's pleasant and lively and fun.
I love it. So, Eleni, give us your elevator pitch. Who are you?
I am a business strategist and a prosperity coach, and I specialize in helping entrepreneurs and C-suite executives bust through money and mindset blocks so they can create the income, the impact, the lifestyle they desire.
Awesome. And I know you were a teacher before you started this endeavor of being an entrepreneur yourself. When did you know the timing was right? And walk us through that transition a little bit.
Sure. I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit. I was raised by entrepreneurs. I was blessed to grow up in my maternal grandparents' home with my mom. Everyone an entrepreneur. I chose teaching. I know I was born a teacher. And in so many ways, I'm still teaching through my work, of course. And it was about the last decade of my teaching that I already started my entrepreneurial journey. I was doing consulting work for private funding groups. And I was connected to small to medium business owners, helping them get money when the bank said no. And when it was time to say goodbye to public school teaching, but why don't I go back to all the parts that I really enjoyed about connecting with those business owners? And that was the segue into my current work.
I love it. And what can we celebrate with you this week?
For me, it doesn't get any better than this. A client told me I gave him his life back.
Oh.
He's in his mid-50s. Yes, cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
He's in his mid-50s, had suffered a lot of loss personally, and thought that he was going to wake up one day and be in his late 60s and realize he wasted one of his best decades. And now he is once fired up again about his future. So it just doesn't get any better than that for me.
It doesn't. That's phenomenal. Way to go. So if we're going to go on a party bus, who would you bring with us, Eleni? And they have to be alive.
First that comes to my mind would be Jesse Eitzler and Sarah Blakely. Now, they're married. Jesse, he's phenomenal. I've been following him for a while. He's just got this best spirit and energy about him, and he is bound and determined to live his best life. And he founded Marquee Jet. And his beautiful wife, Sarah Blakely, is the founder of Spanx. So I love it that they both built everything from the ground up, and they just seem like such fun, vibrant people that want to keep growing, that want to keep learning, regardless of the quote-unquote level of success they've attained.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. That would be a great party bus to be on. We would learn so much from them.
Yes.
So I learned that you start your day with a gratitude journal similar to what I do, and I wholeheartedly believe in the power of that exercise. But what made you start that, and what does that exercise do for you?
Well, I can remember even as a little girl, my grandmother and my mom always saying, you know, we have to be grateful for what we have, especially when you want something else. You have to start with being grateful for what you have. And I didn't do anything formally with it for years and years, but it's probably been a good decade now that I literally started writing at the end of the day, anything throughout the day, whether it was an unexpected phone call from a friend, whether it was just sharing a smile, whether it's I'm alive and healthy. It keeps me grounded and it keeps me focused on what matters. I can think of, it's a funny example where gratitude came in. I live on a peninsula, one way on, one way off. And it was a crowded Saturday. I was coming home from the gym and my car was breaking down. It's like chitty, chitty, bang, bang. And I'm like, great, bumper to bumper traffic. I'm on a bridge. No place I can go right now. And I was like, oh, I was getting, you know, frustrated, angry, starting to get pissed off. And then I went, wait a minute. I am grateful that I'm not driving on snow and ice, which is never an issue in Florida, but regardless, I'm grateful I'm not driving on snow and ice. And then I said I was grateful for all the traffic because it meant everybody was going so slow and I didn't get rear-ended every time my car stalled out. So it just, it centers me. It keeps me grounded.
I love that. So now you have some secrets you're going to share with us about prosperity. Fill us in about what your key thing is that you work with people mostly on.
Absolutely is money, regardless of the reason someone comes to me, you know, wanting to grow their business, wanting to, I've helped executives leave corporate and start their own consulting businesses. And obviously there's a lot of layers with that, from branding to marketing. But the one common theme is people's relationship with money. And I have found that whether you make $50,000 a year or $50 million, most people have a contentious connection to money. And that wreaks havoc in other areas of your life. You know, how you do anything is how you do everything. So if you're frustrated with money, if you feel like it's this necessary evil, then I don't believe that you're going to be as prosperous as you could be or living as happily as you could be.
Right. So what are a couple tips that our listeners can, you know, act upon today to change their belief and relationship yes. with money?
Well, first and foremost, I ask people, you know, if you want a rich and rewarding relationship with your spouse, with your kids, with friends, with clients, don't you have to pay attention to them? So how do you expect to have a rich and rewarding relationship with money if you're too afraid to deal with it, or you treat it like that necessary evil I have to look at? So I have my clients track their money daily. It's so simple. You can get a little binder. I have these beautiful tracking sheets. You can do it electronically. And all you do is record the amount of money that comes in on a daily basis from any source, whether it's income, found money, a refund, before any taxes. Just write that number down. It takes 2 to 3 seconds, even on days when it's zero, because I've had people fight me on that. I'm not writing the zeros down. I get it. But by you initiating the contact with money, that means you're in control. Money's not controlling you. And then at the end of the month, you can look where the gaps are. You see a lot of zeros, you know, you can brainstorm, you can think differently, you can make new decisions that'll help you make new actions. So definitely track your money. And one of the biggest things too, when I see people like, I want to make $1 million, or I want to make 5 million, or I want to make 6 figures, whatever that number is, please, please get connected to it. Because I've had people just throw numbers out. Why? Well, you know, it sounds good. Everyone else is doing it. It's not going to happen. So get connected to why. You know, is it your lifestyle? Is it health? Is it education? Is it because you want to donate to charity? You've got to get connected to why you want that money. Then you're going to have a greater chance of making the money, because you're going to keep yourself motivated that way.
I love it. So, Eleni, what's the most common limiting belief that you encounter when coaching people? Is it all about money, or is there something else underlying there?
It is all connected to money. And what I find is that, again, people feel money has a power of its own, when the reality is it's neutral. Like anything in our life, we apply the meaning to it. And I know we both have talked about the universal laws. Well, where money is concerned, the law of cause and effect. You've got to own that you are the cause, money is the effect. Now, that being said, especially throughout this pandemic, I know countless people have lost their jobs, businesses have shut down. You did not cause that. That's when there are obviously circumstances beyond your control. But I'm talking about the long game. You know, if you see this general pervasive pattern of just barely getting by or always being in debt, then you have to look in the mirror, because something's going on between the ears. By the same token, what if you have a fantastic month, your highest revenue month? Don't you want to know what caused it? You know, did you make more calls? Did you add new products or services? You have to know the cause to replicate it. So, I mean, it's awareness. It's not about guilt. It's about awareness.
Sure. And, you know, why in our society is money such a taboo, sensitive topic?
I think there's always been a lot of judgment connected to it. You know, judging on both extremes. judging people that may be in poverty. And people get judged for being quite wealthy as well. I think it's once you're seen at the poverty level, you're seen at the wealth level, but if you're just minding your own business, riding the tide out, right in that middle, and you're not seen, it's judgments. But that's all connected to stuff we heard growing up, whether it's from parents or other people around us. You know, none of us are born judgmental.
Right. Right. So now that we have, you know, several generations working alongside one another in the workplace, do you see a difference in generations and how they value money?
I was just on a networking call last night, and in my first breakout session, I was with three beautiful young ladies that were in their mid-20s, and they were all projecting about how concerned they are about setting themselves up. And it is a different mindset, where my generation, you know, we just thought, work hard, work for 40 years, you know, retire with 40% of what you could barely live on before. But I think now, with all the awareness out there, that the younger generation is making things happen much quicker because they're more dialed in.
Love it. So the COVID pandemic undoubtedly affects many facets of our lives, including our finances. Yes. Any advice or value bombs you can share to help listeners during these wild times, especially specific to finances?
Yes. Well, and please, please believe, I mean, I know the channels of distribution have changed, but you can create new channels. And most people sometimes view money as that there's a finite, limited supply. There's not. The money is still out there. So we have to start with that belief, because none of us can succeed beyond our current beliefs. And for those folks that have had, whether their product or service, their business isn't relevant right now, isn't the right fit, so they have had to shut down or lay off, please don't retreat, because I believe with every fiber of my being that everybody has a skill set, experience, education, background that they can adapt. And maybe what somebody came to you for originally, you're not able to do because of COVID, because of the situation. But I feel like, because I grew up in the restaurant business, you know, you can create a chef special. They don't see anything on the menu that applies to them, but you have the skills, the knowledge, the background, the expertise to create that chef special and feed the need. I see a lot of people kind of selling themselves short, that, well, this was my job, this is all I did, but it's not all that you are.
Right. So let's go deeper on that, Eleni, because how, okay, so I'm like, say I'm this individual, I lost my job, I'm in a panic mode. How can I see the other skills that I have outside of my career to keep moving forward? You know, like, how do I get in my own head amongst all the fear and kind of create a little bit of clarity?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because fear is ruling so many people. It's running rampant. But to take the time to sit down, write it out, and go all the way back to school. You know, what did you first start excelling in? Or what did you enjoy doing? You know, what subjects did you enjoy? You have to go back and then literally just write down everything that you felt that you had an aptitude for, everything that you had a skill for. It might not, again, fit under the umbrella of what your current job or business was, but you know it's there. So to take a step back, and I have, you know, all my clients, I want you to write down all of your accomplishments, every special skill you have, all the experience you have, even if you think it does not relate to what you're doing currently or what you want to do currently. And again, the money is still flowing. People are still making money. People are still doing business. So once you can do that, pick up the phone. Please don't be afraid to pick up the phone. Again, what somebody came to you for originally, whatever product or service that you offer, it might not be a fit, but maybe something else is in your wheelhouse and you can help them. But how are they going to know if you don't pick up the phone and connect? So to me, and I was helping a client completely pivot his consulting business, find out what your ideal client needs and then meet them there. You know, channel everything, your marketing message to their needs, because everybody is adapting. Everybody's pivoting. It's not like you need to say, well, I had a client say, but I've only been doing this for 2 months. No, you've only been labeling this for 2 months, but you have 30 years of experience.
Yeah, that's the key right there, is you got to see the forest beyond the trees.
Yes.
And really define what you're good at and all of that. So I love that. Great, great advice. And I want people to know they're not alone. Like, telling other people and sharing in the human experience is one of the most incredible things, incredible ways to connect with people. And just saying, hey, I'm having a hard time. And you'd be surprised what doors open for you when you just share and you get a little bit vulnerable, because you are certainly not alone.
No. And I know there are a lot of people worried about even retaining the clients they have currently. And it's so important, especially before the contract is up. First of all, always acknowledge whatever milestones, you know, benchmarks, goals they achieve, because we celebrate. I know you love to celebrate. We celebrate their accomplishments. Then that builds the foundation for more growth. But help them create that future vision that they're going to get fired up about, and make sure that they know what else is in your wheelhouse, what other skills you have, that even though that's not why they originally came to you, it's like, oh, I can help you with that. I have experience in X, Y, Z. You know, don't be afraid to connect and put yourself out there that way.
Exactly. Great advice. So I truly believe in the popular quote, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. What advice do you have for people out there to transition their passion into a paycheck?
Yes. Oh, I love that question. Because you can be incredibly talented, creative, gifted, but if you have a contentious relationship with money, you feel disconnected, it's not going to happen. I had a client who, extremely creative, brilliant entrepreneur, barely making ends meet because she was so afraid to confidently state her fees. She was almost physically ill talking about her fees and would apologize for them. And once we started digging through all that, you know, unpacking it, realizing what she grew up with her parents, and I mean, no disrespect, everyone does the best they can do with what they know. And she always heard her parents say, you know, there's never enough to go around. I don't want to talk about money. I'm not going to pay attention to it tonight. So she never wanted to look at it. But that also connects to other areas in your life. You know, if you're too afraid to stand up for yourself and confidently state your fees, I guarantee there's other areas of your life that you're not standing up for yourself. And once she got comfortable with that and she realized that she was worthy of those fees, it was like, we call it pass the salt. There's no emotional charge. And the fee is, just like you'd say, pass the salt. She started making 6 times what she was earning month after month.
Oh, that is fantastic. Cheers.
For those that are passionate out there, yes. So please don't lose the passion, but know that you are worthy. You can charge what you're worth.
Right. So how did she emotionally, you said some great things there. How did she emotionally disconnect the feeling in those conversations? Because that takes work.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. It did. In fact, when she decided on her new fee, the investment level for her services, I had her walking around her apartment out loud and saying it as if she was walking up to people. And the investment for my service is, and the investment for my service is, keep saying it until it's automatic. Because you're right, you can put it down, you can have it in the books. But then when it comes face to face, or, you know, even if it's just on the phone, you have to get to the point where it's the same emotion as pass the salt.
I love that. I love that, pass the salt. Well, and I know so many people who I've encountered that don't demand the appropriate salary for themselves and undervalue their services that they do provide. And then when you help them through that, oh, it's remarkable what comes out on the other end.
Yeah. They're living with so much more freedom.
Yeah, exactly. So The Science of Getting Rich, the book by Wallace Wattles, is one of my favorite. I read it once a month. But as a money gal, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that book?
Wallace Wattles is brilliant. I love that. It's awesome that you read that every month. I love it, especially, I believe it's chapter 14. He talks about the impression of increase, that everything in nature wants more. And it doesn't mean more money, bigger house, more expensive car, but it's about, you know, advancing your life forward and to do it with conviction and intention. So anything that you do, make sure your intention behind it is to advance your life. And, oh, I especially love, too, I just remembered he talks about the difference between the creative and the competitive mind.
Yes.
Especially now, so many people are, I just want to outbid you. I want to outrun you. I want to grow my business faster than you. And Wallace Wattles makes a really good point that if you stay in the competitive mind, that you're not evolving yourself. You have to stay in the creative mind. Yep. To move your own life forward. He was brilliant in that.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the key things I picked up on when I first read it, I think maybe 4 years ago, because what I reframed my mind to say was there is enough. And so I didn't have to be in that competitive space. There's plenty of business for everyone out there. And I'm in a highly competitive business arena. But there's plenty out there. And once I made that switch, it's like the value proposition piece of charging what you're worth. And then it's great because opportunities do come regardless, but they come more when you're out of that competitive mindset.
For yes, sure. Exactly. And just believing, you know, in the abundance, you know, you get a client doesn't mean there's one less for me.
Right.
No.
Right, exactly. There's plenty for everybody in this world, especially plenty of money. There's an unlimited supply.
Yes, yes. I don't know. I'm glad that I wasn't raised with, this is the amount that you get. However soon you run out of it, you're done.
Right. Eleni, where do you get your inspiration from? Like podcasts or blogs or any resources you want to share with our listeners?
I love staying plugged in. I follow Jesse and Sarah. I love their mindset around business and just their personal lives as well. And David Nagel, I enjoy his Successful Mind podcast as well. And I've been a long, long fan of Bob Proctor.
Oh, yeah.
Without question.
All great people. And where can my guests find you?
Everything is under my name, Eleni Anastas, my website, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. The only difference is on Instagram, it's Eleni Connects.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing some tremendous information with our listeners. I'm so grateful. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We are thrilled to have made a worldwide impact with listeners in 9 different countries. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to subscribe to Careers and Cocktails on YouTube and drop us a review on your favorite podcast app. If you're looking to update your resume or you're stuck in your career, I'm designated by LinkedIn as the top resume writer and career coach expert. I even created a resume and e-learning course to help you if you want to do your own resume. It's super simple and extremely affordable. Go to careersandcocktails.com to learn more. I also wrote a book called I Hate Mondays for all of you job seekers who hate your jobs and want to love your Mondays. You can go there for the same information. And of course, I'm up to so much valuable information sharing that for you hiring leaders, if you want to find the secrets to finding the best talent, I have a hiring guide at careersandcocktails.com as well. I am here to share information and help people love what they do. Until next time, cheers.